Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Well, the US Vice President J.D. Vance is in Israel today to meet the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in an effort to shore up the fragile ceasefire deal in Gaza. Israeli forces killed 45 Palestinians on Sunday in a response to an attack by Hamas, which killed two Israeli soldiers. Well, to discuss what's going on, I'm joined by Lise Doucette, Chief International Correspondent with the BBC. Good morning, Lise.
Good morning.
The attacks at the weekend, they have stopped now, we understand. But in your assessment, how delicate is the ceasefire in Gaza right now?
It was fragile right from the start. Everyone knew that it would be there would be risks to the ceasefire holding. I think it started to unravel more quickly than people expected. That, of course, Israel accused Hamas of opening fire. Hamas accused Israel of opening fire. There was discussion about, well, what has caused it? Was it because that the line which separates the Israeli-controlled areas in the Gaza Strip from those which where it has left has not been clear? So now they are now in the process of drawing this yellow line, as it's called today, to make it clear to Hamas that they should not go beyond this line. And if they do, there will be repercussions. There have also been other ways in which the deal has been undermined. I'm sure that you've reported before that during the negotiations which led to the agreement on this first phase of the deal, Hamas had made it clear to the negotiators that it knew where the 20 live Israeli hostages were, but it would have difficulty finding the remains of some of the 28 bodies, those who had not survived their ordeal in captivity or who had been killed during the horrific events of October the 7th. And so they started and are still now, even today, one of the bodies is being handed over. But Israel started demanding that the bodies be handed over more quickly, accusing Hamas of going back on the deal. And then Prime Minister Netanyahu announced that all aid would be stopped. But what we saw behind the scenes, and we're seeing it continually, is American pressure was ratcheted up, and the Israelis had to then roll back on that and say, okay, aid is coming through. Not more aid than before, but not enough, and not enough crossings opened.
So how worried is the United States then that the ceasefire is under serious threat? We know that Steve Witkoff is there, Jared Kushner already in the Middle East. So sending J.D. Vance as well, clearly that's a sign now that they feel they need to really focus on maintaining what they have.
A very visible sign that, a very visible answer to the question, at least for now, that when many said, President Trump deserves credit for exerting the kind of pressure that only he can on his important strategic ally, Israel, and most of all his prime minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, and then getting the Arab mediators to exert pressure on Hamas. But it was always asked, well, will he just be distracted by crises at home or other wars that he's vowed to end? But so far, at least, as you mentioned, Jared Kushner, his son-in-law, also his envoy, really for everything, Steve Witkoff, they're still in Israel. J.D. Vance, the vice president, is going in to bolster that pressure. He's also going to see Prime Minister Netanyahu and other senior officials. So it does send a signal that President Trump means it when he says he wants this deal to hold.
And there's a real sense as well, isn't there, of President Trump balancing the interests on this. Just listening to his latest comments about Hamas, you know, if they don't toe the line, we will go in there, we will obliterate them. But he is also keeping Benjamin Netanyahu in check because there is real concern that he might scupper the deal, concern from the Americans that that might happen.
Nothing is simple or easy or straightforward in Gaza, especially after 2 years of this grievous war. When the deal started to fray a little bit, President Trump said he understood that Hamas needed time to retrieve the hostages, that had been made clear in the negotiations. Then when fighting broke out, as you said, he threatened Hamas that he could obliterate them if and or he would give the green light to Israel to do it if they didn't lay down their arms. But what Hamas says, and there is evidence from independent sources to confirm this, is that Israel has been arming and financing and supporting other tribal militias in the Gaza Strip to take on Hamas. So the people that have, some of the people, at least Hamas has also taken very grisly retribution against people it accuses of collaborating with Israel. Your listeners may have seen, or I hope they looked away, the scenes of executions in the streets. But also they say that the people that they're fighting at are those who are shooting at them, and that they are armed by Israel. So it is a very, very explosive mix now in the Gaza Strip.
Well, that further complicates the security situation in Gaza. And we haven't really had an answer to that question, have we, Lise? You know, who is going to be in charge of security there as we get through this ceasefire period, wondering whether or not it will hold?
So much to be done, so little time. Egypt is now calling for an urgent meeting of the UN Security Council to authorize what President Trump's 20-point plan, a vague plan, it has to be said, called for a stabilization force, a government run by technocrats to oversee the running of the Gaza Strip for now. There's talk of Arab forces going in to try to maintain order, but many of the Arab countries who would be ready to give troops don't want to go in while Israeli forces are still on the ground. And Israel still controls 53% of the Gaza Strip, and that is meant to be a temporary line. But the big question going forward, and we're just discussing the first phase of the deal not working as well as it should, there still should be, and we understand they're already discussing the even harder second phase, where Hamas has to disarm, Israel has to pull back even further from the Gaza Strip. But as I said, Hamas says it needs its guns to protect itself, not just against Israel, but also against its rivals. And Prime Minister Netanyahu had made it clear that he wants to maintain overall security in the Gaza Strip. So the deal is, I won't say it's hanging by a thread, but it's going to take a lot of really, really powerful pressure by President Trump if he really wants what he had hailed as a deal, not just about Gaza, as he said in his very Trump way, but the biggest peace in the Middle East for either 3,000 or 500 years, as he put it.
Can we get a sense from you, Lise, around Benjamin Netanyahu and the pressure that he is under, not just from factions within his own party, but in a wider sense in Israel? And can you tell us why he's under so much pressure and why he might want to pull the deal down?
He's under pressures from many directions. As we discussed, he's under pressure from President Trump. He knows, and Hamas knows, everyone knows, they have to keep on President Trump's side or else. He is under pressure from the far right wing ministers in his cabinet who are vowing to bring down his government. But he's also under pressure from the Israeli public, and the opinion polls have been steadily climbing in favor of an end to the war. First of all, a growing number of Israelis wanted the war to end because they wanted the hostages home. Now the 20 living hostages are home, and that was an enormous relief, most of all for the hostages themselves and for their families living in such agony. But also it was a day of celebration right across Israel and far beyond. And of course, they were exchanged for nearly 2,000 Palestinian prisoners and detainees. But Israelis are exhausted by this war. They want to feel that they will be secure, that there is no chance of another October 7th happening again. But the critics of Prime Minister Netanyahu say that he is basically prolonging this war because of his own political survival. He's facing three corruption cases. But the clock is ticking toward next year's election. So he has to think, well, what is going to play best with the Israeli public? He said he's already the longest serving Israeli prime minister, and he's already made it clear he wants to run again. And no one will rule out, despite the fact that he's a very controversial prime minister, that no one can rule out that he would actually win again.
Mm-hmm. And J.D. Vance then, I mean, we know that from the recent past that he has been undiplomatic at times in his language on the international stage. I mean, his diplomatic skills will really be tested, won't they, on this visit?
Let's see. It's always unpredictable because this is administration. We see whenever there's a microphone, they speak sometimes. So often it's unscripted. The commitment, the relationship between Israel and the United States is, of course, ironclad, no matter who's in power, no matter the circumstances. So he will take time to emphasize that. He will also, of course, express his solidarity with the families of the hostages. There's already been, but just before I joined you, I was looking at photographs of Jared Kushner and Steve Witkoff meeting the families of the hostages and even the hostages themselves who were recently freed. And they made it absolutely clear. They don't thank Prime Minister Netanyahu for their joy. They thank President Trump. So there'll be a lot of that as well. There will also be very, very heavy security.
Lise, thank you very much for joining us. Lise Doucette, Chief International Correspondent with the BBC.